Narayanam Namaskritya Nanam Cheva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tito Jayam Udirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22. Chapter entitled Prithu Maharaja's Meeting with the Kumaras, text number 13. Indriyaya Vishaya Krishtair Akshitam Jayatam Manaha Chetanam Hare Te Bhute
Chetanam Hare Te Bhute
Stambastoyam Ivaradha Indriyaya Vishaya Krishtair Akshitam Jayatam Manaha Chetanam Harate Bhute Stambastoyam Ivaradha
By the senses.
Vishaya. The sense objects.
Akrishtaya.
Being attracted. Akshitam.
Agitated.
Jayatam. Always thinking of.
Manaha.
Mind.
Chetanam.
Consciousness.
Arate.
Comes lost.
Bude.
Of intelligence.
Stamba.
Big straws.
Toryam.
Water.
Iva.
Like.
Pradat.
From the lake.
Translation and verbal by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shlokopa.
When one's mind and senses are attracted to sense objects for enjoyment, the mind becomes agitated. As a result of continually thinking of sense objects,
one's real consciousness almost becomes lost.
Like the water in a lake. That is gradually sucked up
by the big grass straws on its back.
In this verse, it is very nicely explained how our original Krishna consciousness becomes polluted and we gradually become almost completely forgetful of our relationship with the Supreme Lord. In the previous verse, it is recommended that we should always keep in touch with the devotional service of the Lord, so that the blazing fire of devotional service can gradually burn into ashes, material desires, and we can become liberated from the repetition of birth and death. This is also how we can indirectly keep our staunch faith in the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the mind is allowed to think for sense gratification continuously, it becomes the cause of our material bondage. If our mind is simply filled with sense gratification, even though we want Krishna consciousness, by continuous practice, we cannot forget the subject matter of sense gratification. If one takes up the sannyasa order of life, but is not able to control the mind, he will think of objects of sense gratification, namely family, society, expensive house, etc. Even though he goes to the Himalayas or the forest, his mind will continue thinking of the objects of sense gratification. In this way, gradually one's intelligence will be affected. When intelligence is affected, one loses his original taste for Krishna consciousness. The example given here is very appropriate.
If a big lake is covered all around by long kusha grass like the columns, the waters dry up. Similarly, when the big columns of material desires increase, the clear water of consciousness is dried up. Therefore, such columns of kusha grass should be cut or thrown away from the very beginning. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed that if, from the very beginning, we do not take care of unwanted grass in the paddy fields, the fertilizing agents or water will be used by them, and the paddy plants will dry up. The material desire for sense enjoyment is the cause of our fall down in this material world, and thus we suffer the threefold miseries in continuous birth, death, old age, and disease. However, if we turn our desires toward the transcendental loving service of the Lord, our desires become purified. We cannot kill desires. We have to purify them of different designations. If we constantly think of being a member of a particular nation, society, or family, and continuously think about them, we become very strongly entangled in the conditioned life of birth and death. But if our desires are applied to the service of the Lord, they become purified, and thus we become immediately freed from material contamination. Omegyan tibadandasya kyananjana shalakaya chakshurun nilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manopishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupak dhamayam vadati swavatam jivam pancha kalpata rubhyascha kripa sindhu ye eva cha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadha Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
This is a very nice verse. From Srimad Bhagavatam. It is similar to verses found in the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita, I was explaining this last night also, the Bhagavad Gita is 700 verses. Very concise. I mean, that's considered concise. Even 700 verses, that's quite a lot on one letter. You know, it's a lot to read. Depends on if you've read Bhagavad Gita. So even some devotees have not read it. 700 verses. So. That's why Lord Chaitanya spoke Shikshastika. Shikshastika is 8 verses. Hands up if you've read Shikshastika. Yeah, it's only 8 verses. So 8 verses is much easier. Just like these days, you see in Kali Yuga, everyone wants everything quick and instant and short and concise. Just give me 8 verses, that's enough. Actually, it is enough, because in the Shikshastika, the entire philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam is in the Shikshastika. In those 8 verses, you have everything is described. And then, more elaborate is the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is 700 verses, which is a lot for this day and age. Everyone just wants everything quick. Give it to me in 5 minutes. That's possible, isn't it? The last couple of verses in the Gita, 1865-66, you can say that's kind of like the summary of everything, the entire Gita. So you can read 2 verses and you can understand the whole thing. But there is elaboration which is there. And then the Bhagavad Gita is elaborated upon in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So those 700 verses are expanded to 18,000 verses. How many chapters? 330 chapters, which are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam elaborates upon the verses of the Gita, the philosophy of the Gita. So this verse here is very very powerful verse. And it explains, in one sense, how we get out of the material world. So we go to the end of the Gita, the summary. Krishna says four things. Only four things you have to do to go back to the spiritual world. Or if you go to the next verse, it's even more simple. Arjuna says, just give me one thing to go back to the spiritual world. And what is that one thing to go back to the spiritual world?
Surrender to Krishna.
You have to surrender to Krishna. If you surrender to Krishna, you'll go back to the spiritual world. Right? But that's not so easy. Let me see you do that one thing. Let me see you give 100% of your consciousness to Krishna. Not divert it to anything else. Then you will go back to Krishna. Mam ekam sharanam raja. Ekam means fist. Yavasi yatmika buddhi. Eke ha kuru nandana. Eka. Krishna says several times in the Gita. Ek. Just follow. Precisely. Directly. Do not become distracted. Then you will go back to Krishna. If you're distracted all the time, how will you go back? Just like I'm looking at you. You're listening to the Bhagavatam class. You can't even keep your mind on the class. No? We're only speaking for half an hour. You can't even concentrate for half an hour. You're distracted all the time. Your mind constantly wandering here, there, everywhere. How will you go back to Krishna? You can't concentrate for half an hour. How will you do your whole life? But you have to if you want to go back. You have to focus completely. Mind, body, words, everything in Krishna's service. That is sannyas. Everyone has to become a sannyasi. Not externally, it doesn't mean you'll get it done there. Someone, not everybody. But in your consciousness, you have to fully focus on Krishna. Then you go back to Krishna. So it is not easy. It is easy, but it is not easy. That is our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It is easy, but it is not easy. First time I walked in here, 1989, I walked in. And when I saw it, I thought, this is easy. Then I realized, it's not easy. Now I've been doing it for a number of years, but it's not easy. It is easy, but it's not easy. Does it make sense? Doesn't make sense. Okay, now I have to explain that. Prabhupada said, easy for the easy, simple for the simple, complicated for the complicated. You want to complicate things? Oh, it is complicated, don't worry. You want to make it simple? It is simple. It is up to you how you apply it. If you just focus on Krishna, it is very simple, very easy. If you don't focus on Krishna, it becomes complicated. Bahushaka jananta. Bahushaka means many branches. Yeah? You can meditate on all the different branches. And if you meditate on that, then it becomes difficult. If you meditate just on the one branch where Krishna is, then you... Does it make sense? So, the Bhagavad Gita is being elaborated upon here in the Bhagavatam. So Krishna says four things. Just do four things. What are the four things? Mamana, bhava, mambhakto, madhyachi, mamnamasku. What are those four things? Mamana, bhava. What is that? Think of me. One thing. Okay, you got it? Okay. Just think of Krishna. Second thing. Mamana, bhava, mambhakto. Madhbhakto.
My devotee.
Come, my devotee. Understood? There are only four things. You should be able to remember this. Right. Madhyaji means?
Obeisances.
Worship.
Worship.
Madhyaji. Worship. Just worship. Think of him, become his devotee, worship him. Mam namaskuru.
Respectable obeisances.
Of your respects. Sure. There's only four things. Pretty simple. Can you do it? Of course we can do it, it's not difficult. Will you do it? That is the difficult. So many things you become distracted by in this material world. But these four things to do. This is your to-do list for today. Think of Krishna, become his devotee, worship him, offer your respect to him. Is it difficult? Not so difficult. Will you do it? Maybe. Maybe not.
So then, the Bhagavatam expands all these verses. So it says here, you need to control your mind. Krishna says, right? Manmana bhava bhava. Manmana. Think of me, bhava, with feeling, with emotion. Think of Krishna. But then, we can say that's not so easy. What is the problem with that? So this verse is explaining what is the problem. Very nice. Okay. When one's mind and senses are attracted to sense objects for enjoyment, okay, there is the problem. Krishna says, always think of me, but your mind is attracted to?
Sense objects.
Sense objects for?
Enjoyment.
Oh, that's a big problem. What is that called?
Maya.
Maya. Okay. Illusion. It's a big problem. Mind is attracted to so many things for enjoyment. Because we are conditioned souls, nitya bada. How long have we been in the material world?
2 billion lifetimes of Brahma?
Yeah, like a long time. Too long. We've been in the material world for how long? Prabhupada says time immemorial. Immemorial means you can't even work out when you got here. You've been here for so long. That's a problem. Because so many lifetimes, what did you do with your body and mind? Used it for sense gratification. And then suddenly, you come to the devotee body, and then what happened? Prabhupada says, stop using it for sense gratification. Oh, that's difficult. Because you're used to doing it, conditioned, nichabada. And now, stop doing it. That requires training. And that's why it is difficult. That's why we find it difficult to surrender to Krishna. Because the mind is conditioned for so many lifetimes. And you have the same mind, how long have you been in the material world for? Lifetimes. Countless lifetimes. And you've got the same mind since you got here. It's the same mind. The body changes, but you've brought the same mind each time. Right? All the different 2 million lifetimes, think. 2 million times, same mind. Right? Coming with you, giving the same problems again. Hands up if your mind gives you problems. Okay. 70% of the audience. It's actually 100%. But the mind is giving problems. It's been giving the same problems for lifetimes. All the same stuff. And this is interesting. We're just attached to the same things we've been attached to for lifetimes. It's not new. Right? In this lifetime, you come and you say, oh, I'm attached to the... No, it's the same stuff. It just all changed. Right? The forms changed. That's all. You're just attached to different forms. But the point is you're attached to material form. That's the point. Therefore, Rupa Goswami gives us the science of devotional service coming from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself in the Bhakti Vasavita Sindhu. It's one of our four main books in ISKCON. Just like the table is steady, or Prabhupada's Vyasasan has four legs, keeps it steady. If you have three legs, it'll be a problem. Two legs, big problem. One leg, useless. No legs, then nothing. Four legs. So Prabhupada said, four books keep ISKCON steady. What are the four books?
Bhagavad Gita.
Srimad Bhagavatam.
Ishopanishad.
Prabhupada actually said teachings of Lord Chaitanya. But means Chaitanya Charitamrita. He hadn't written Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita and?
Nectar of Devotion.
Nectar of Devotion. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So Rupa Goswami gives the whole process of bhakti within that. So he gives 64 items of devotional service. 64 ways you can serve Krishna. And if you read the list, have you read the list? Okay, good to read it. If you've read the list, most of them are in relation to the deity. The deities. Now why do we have deities? Very good. To make us regulated, to make us clean. Very good. Why do we have deities?
To
They represent the energy.
They are Krishna, non different from Krishna, because God is a person. Mamana bhavama bhakto, madhya jimanos. He says four times, me, 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 me. And then you get these Mayavadi commentators, they say, Krishna does not mean me. Hare, Baba. Krishna does not mean me, he means the unborn within me. Yeah, I mean, it's like you're in a conversation. You say, can you bring me a glass of water? And you bring it. You say, no, no, not to me. The unborn with me. Within me. Give me the water. What is that? Something crazy. Prabhupada's are just juggling words. They're crazy, these people. My body commentators. So Krishna says, he's a person. That's why we worship the deity. Because this is God. His form. Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila, his form. Ashraya, Vigraha, Archa, Murti, Archa, Vigraha, he has a form. So, what is the problem with the mind? It says here, the mind is attracted to sense gratification for enjoyment. You're attached to material form. Why are you attached to material form? Because you've been in the material world for so long, you're attached to so many material forms. This lifetime, you're attached to a particular form. Last lifetime, you know, it's actually humorous. In this world, in this lifetime, you've become attached to a particular form. You're a man or woman or whatever you're attached to, right? But then if you go back three lifetimes and you look at the form you're attached to in that lifetime, you would think, well, I'm not attached to that. We showed you the dog, your wife, when you were a dog. Right. And you look, or remember the story, Indra, that he became a pig. Right. And he became attached to his wife. Right. She was a beautiful pig. Don't laugh, she was beautiful. Beautiful pig. He became attached. And Brahma came down and said, okay, time to go back. We need you. We need some service to do. No. This is good. She's beautiful. Kids are doing really well. this is all good. I'm happy here. No problem. Brahma's like, come on, tomorrow. He showed him, gave him darshan. This is tomorrow. Tomorrow the butcher comes. He goes, cuts the throat. And then woke up, bang, straight back to become injured. So we're attached to form. So why does Rupa Goswami, in the Bhakti Rasa, why does it give us deity worship? So many items of deity worship. To make your mind attached to the form of spirit instead of matter. The first verse of the Bhagavatam says, you have to give up attachment to the material and become attached to the spiritual. Give up attachment to asat. Asat means that which is temporary. All these forms are temporary, we're attached to. And become attached to the sat. Param Satcham Dimihi. First verse Bhagavatam says, Param Satcham Dimihi. Meditate on the absolute truth, the form of God. That's why. So when you do deity worship, then you purify your senses by serving the deity. Right? And your senses become detached from the material forms to the spiritual form of God. And that's what we need. You have to replace, because Prabhupada, it's said in the purport, attachment doesn't go away. You can't become attached to nothing. Right? Become attached to nothing. No, not possible. You have to be attached. The nature of the soul. Krishna says, third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you cannot stop doing anything, even for a moment. Every moment we're doing something. You're thinking, or you're breathing, or something is going on. Right? So you can't stop. So therefore, the mind and your attachments have to be transferred to the deity, to the form of Krishna, to the order of the spiritual master, to the service of the devotees, attached to the holy dham, chanting, become attached to chanting the holy name, attached to hearing and reading Srimad Bhagavatam, attached to prasadam. Oh, that's really hard, isn't it? Prabhupada started his one in 1965. 1966, he began the preaching down in the 22nd Avenue. Yeah. Prabhupada used to cook the feast. Imagine, Prabhupada cooked the feast. He gave class, led kirtan, cooked the feast, served the feast, cleaned up when all the hippies left. Prabhupada did everything by himself. So Prabhupada said, in the beginning, they were not coming to hear my lecture. They were not coming for kirtan. They were coming for prasad. Hands up if that is true about you. When we first came here, we came for prasada. Right? It's like on Sunday here. You know, Sunday feast. Right? How many people in the class? 20, 40, 50, something like that. How many for prasada? 500? 600? It's not good, actually. That wasn't Prabhupada's vision of ISKCON. Everyone just comes to eat. No, that wasn't Prabhupada's vision. You can do that anyway, just go and eat. Like at the Hare Krishna Valley, at our program, we have Sunday feast down there once a month. People come for whole kirtan, whole class, whole prasadam. Right? And I say to them, you want to come and just eat? You give me money. And if you want to come and go for kirtan, class, and prasadam, you give me money as well. Both ways. But I say, people, sometimes they ring, it doesn't happen very often, but people ring and they say, oh, we just want to come to eat. I say, yeah, no problem. $10 a head. No problem, you come. But you pay me. You just come to eat, then you pay. No problem. But if you come for the rest, then I say, okay, just please give a donation. How much? $10. They should give something. People place value on it when it is worth something. Right? I have a program in Torquay. Torquay is one town down near the beach. So once a month we have a meditation night in my mother's house. I charge people $25 to come. Right? 1 hour, meditation, teach some kirtan, little class, and then prasadam. $25, they pay it, no problem. Because they put value on it when they're in somewhere. Everything free, 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 free. People don't always value the thing. Even Prabhupada, 1976, he was in Hawaii. Right? And then he walked into the restaurant. The temple was there, and the restaurant was across the road. Prabhupada walked in, so many people were in the restaurant taking prasad. Prabhupada said, why don't I just go into the temple? The prasadam is free. And one devotee said, no, Prabhupada, they like to pay. In the West, people like to pay, and they value the thing. And then Prabhupada said, he said, from now on, this is 1976, Prabhupada said, from now on, no more temples. Restaurants and reading rooms. Prabhupada said that. Means like urban yoga, this kind of project. Or Radhi's Chaibar, then we have some preaching program, a mantra lounge, a preaching program. That's Prabhupada that was the vision. This was spread. Then when you get too many people, there's too many, and say, okay, build a temple. That's okay. So this is the system. So how do you control your mind? Mind is attached to sense gratification. Our mind is attached to sense gratification. So then you have to dovetail it in Krishna's sense. We like to eat nice things. So as devotees, because we like to eat nice things, then what do? Only prasad. Right? We like to eat, but it has to be offered to Krishna first. You can't eat it before it is offered to Krishna. You should not even think about it before it is offered to Krishna. Right? Sometimes devotees say, like, the 740 offer. Not 740, 640 offer. In the evening. And then sometimes, you know, offering is made, Krishna begins to eat it at 6:40. Sometimes at 6 o'clock, You know, devotees say, oh, you know, should we have some 640? You should not be thinking about that. Krishna has not eaten, he has not enjoyed. What about him? Why are you thinking about yourself? Well, let Krishna enjoy it. Then if there's anything left, if he leaves anything, then you can have some. That's the system. You have to learn to control the mind. Otherwise your mind is full of sense gratification. So this verse is very powerful. As a result of continually thinking of sense objects, one's real consciousness becomes almost lost. Jayato vishayam pumsam sangas teshu pajayate sangas sanjayate kama. Kama prabhu vijay. Krishna explains all this in Bhagavad Gita. No. Jayato. In this verse, also the word is used. Jayato. What is jayato? Meditate. Prabhupada says here, always thinking of. What do you think of? What do you think of? Like, during the day, what do you think of? Someone said material things? That's not very good. International Society for Thinking of Material Things. That's not very good. Okay. What do you think of? If you're going to control your mind or overcome your mind, you have to understand how the mind works. Okay? So what do you think of? What's the answer? During the day, you think of something. What do you think of? Very good. Who said that? What your attention is in. Is it? Very good. Nice. Very good. What you're attached to. Right? If you're attached to something, you think of it. Right? Rupa Goswami says, Krishna. Rupa Goswami prays, Krishna, please let my mind come to you just like a young boy thinks of a young girl. Right? We all know how that works. Right? We're all from the material world. So we know how the mind thinks of young girl or the girl thinks of young boy. When you're attached to a young boy or a young girl, all of us have been attached during this life. You don't have to say to your mind, okay, let's start thinking about it. Right? The mind goes, why? Because you're attached. Right? So what does the mind meditate on most of the day? What you're attached to. So what do you have to become attached to? You have to become attached to the deity. To the service of the deity. To the order of the spiritual master. To the Srimad Bhagavatam. To the holy name. To transcendental things. You have to become blissful in Krishna consciousness. Hands up if you are blissful right now. It's not a very good audience. I'll ask one more time. Hands up if you are blissful right now. A little bit better. Everyone's got that. Yeah, I think I'm blissful. Yeah, I'm blissful. That's not blissful. That's not blissful. That means you are not blissful. Okay, you're happy. That's good. That's not blissful. We should be blissful all the time. You say, oh, that's for advanced devotees. No. It's for anyone who's in this temple room right now. You should be blissful all the time. How do you become blissful? When you are connected to Krishna. Right? You have to become blissful in Krishna consciousness. It is an enjoyable process. Is it enjoyable? Are you enjoying the class right now?
Yeah.
That's good. That means I can keep my job for one more week. If I give a bad class, that's okay. See you next time. Thank you for coming to temple. You eat too much anyway. So. Okay. Yeah. You enjoy the kirtans?
Yes.
Very good. Do you enjoy prasad? Do you enjoy seeing the demons? Enjoy seeing the demons? Who is your favorite? You don't have to say now, but think. I have my favorite. There's seven large deities. I have a favorite. Anyone who knows me well will know who it is. I'm not going to say it. But anyone knows me well. They know who it is.
You have to become attached.
Then you become blissful. You only become blissful when you're attached. If you're not attached, you won't be blissful. You have to become attached to the whole name. Then you'll be blissful. Attached to hearing Bhagavatam, reading Bhagavatam, studying Prabhupada's books. Then you'll become blissful. Attached to honoring prasadam. Oh, I'm just enthusiastic when there is pizza. Yeah, sometimes like that. Oh, pizza, you see them, they come like mad. You're attached to cheese, not Krishna. No, seriously. Yeah, here's a block of cheese. You should be attached to prasadam. Prabhupada said, honor prasadam. When you take prasadam, it's a meditation. You're honoring Krishna's prasadam. Every time a devotee eats, it should feel like this is better than last time. Doesn't matter what sort of prasadam. Because it's Krishna's prasadam. In ISKCON, actually, we are so spoiled. ISKCON, compared to the other Gaudiya institutions. So much of it. I mean, prasadam is just like, that's, you know, if you go to India, like you go to see Radha Govinda in Jayapur, and you go to see the deities, you get like one little bit of prasad like this. That's prasad. And everyone's like, oh. Right? And they go around the back of the altar. Very beautiful. My Guru Maharaj said to me, it's one of the most powerful temples in India, Radha Govinda. This deity appeared to Rupa Goswami. It was actually commissioned and carved by Krishna's great-grandson, Vrajananda. This deity is ancient, 5,000 years old. Radha Govinda in Jayapur. Right? And the moon in that temple is full of bhakti. All the Matajis are at the front. The Prabhus are at the back. Prabhus can't even get near the altar. The Matajis, they have real devotion. Just straight to the front. And when the curtain's open, they're just singing. They're just absorbing themselves in the river of nectar coming from the darshan and Govinda. And then you get a little bit of prasad. Someone gives you from that. They go around the back of the altar. There's a parikrama around the back of the altar. And they go around the back. And then everyone, there's the culture. There's so much bhakti there. Everyone takes the little bit of it and they begin to break it up and pass it to everyone else. Yeah, take some prasad, take some prasad. That's the moon. Not like here, sometimes 6:40 offering, 7 o'clock, you know, the pizza's come off, it's on there. Everyone comes in, everyone's like grabbing it for themselves. That's not the mood of bhakti. That's the mood of sense gratification in the name of Krishna consciousness. That's what that is. Prasad means, hey, prasad, Prabhu, have some. You know, I brought this from Mayapur, some prasad, take some. And that's the mood. We have to purify our consciousness so we feel blissful all the time. If the mind is attached to sense gratification, you will never be happy. The mind has to be attached. When you're attached to sense gratification, you will never be happy. The ancient teachings say there is no happiness like liberation, moksha, and there is no suffering like attachment to sense gratification. If you're attached, you will just suffer. That's all. When you're attached to something in the material world, in the beginning, Krishna says, it is like nectar in the beginning. Mm. It is like poison in the end. Mm. That's Rajaguna. So attached, oh, it's so wonderful, so sweet. You know, she is the girl of my dreams. Yeah, he is the boy from my Bollywood movies. He is cool. So, but then, you watch. It all disintegrates. The material energy is mystical. Mama Maya Dirachaya. Krishna says it's my Maya. You watch. Krishna is so powerful. He puts us in illusion and we think it is good, and then he just totally evaporates. And you think, how did that happen? Krishna's a master magician. I can bewilder all of you, and you will think it is nice, and then in the middle of it, I will make it all turn to chili pepper. Well, not for you guys, because you like chili. Bitter, yeah. Actually, I like bitter. So, it means sand in the sweet rice, Prabhupada said.
Sweet rice.
Oh, sweet rice.
Eat it. Oh, wait a minute. You put sand in it. Disgusting. That's the material world. In the beginning it is like nectar, in the end it is like poison. Is it light and salt? These kids are in line. Prabhupada said the kids are from Vaikuntha. Prabhupada said, we have to serve them, they're from Vaikuntha. You behave like you're from Vaikuntha. Don't say after class, I am from Vaikuntha. There you can all serve me, I am from Vaikuntha. But this is the mood. Krishna, it has to be blissful. Then the mind. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Param Drishtva Nivartate. Param Drishtva means?
Higher taste.
Higher taste. This is one of the most important verses in the Bhagavad Gita, actually. Param Drishtva Nivartate means you have to get a higher taste in Krishna consciousness. How many devotees have you seen have been around for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years? There's not a lot in this community, in this room. Why not? Because they lost the taste. But actually, it should be the opposite. It should be the taste is increasing, not decreasing. How does the taste increase? You have to absorb yourself. The mind has become absorbed. You have to get pleasure from Krishna consciousness. You have to enjoy the process. And then your mind will become attached to it. I can't wait for this next kirtan. I can't wait for this class. I can't wait for this feast. I can't wait for this festival. Hands up if you're looking forward to Janmashtami. Okay, so that's, remember before I said, are you blissful? And everyone went, maybe like that. But then I said, then, if you're looking forward, and then everyone, that's bliss. So bring Janmashtami every day. When Janmashtami comes, right, you throw yourself into it. You give yourself 100% to Krishna on that day. 100%. No sense gratification. Idam Krishna, idam namama. This is not for me today. This is for Krishna. Right? Don't think, oh, I can steal the Mahaprasadam and I can, or so many nice things are offered over. No, don't think like that. Just give it all to Krishna. If you get some back, okay, nice. If you don't get some, what's the problem? Serving Krishna. Just absorb yourself. And then if you do that on that one day, that will set the tone for the rest of the year. That's why we have to absorb ourselves in the festivals. Yeah, when the festivals come, just like on Saturday, I heard there's a festival. Which one was that? Here's all on the street.
Yeah.
Is that on Saturday? Hands up if you're excited.
Evil.
When he came out of the pillar, the whole universe shook. That was the sound. But more than that. That was the sound. But more. When he came out of the pillar, the whole universe went. Imagine the whole universe. Have you ever been in an earthquake?
No, yes.
Yeah, some have been. You know, when the whole thing, and you just, that's what it was like. The whole universe went, That's exciting. That's our God. You worship whatever God you want to worship. That's our God. The whole universe goes, and then he steps out, licking his lips. And he looks at Hiranyakashipu. The sum total of anger. Has anyone ever been really angry on you?
Yes.
Really angry. Right, it's scary, right? When someone's really angry. Right, it's scary. Imagine half man, half lion, he's probably 18 foot tall or something, and he comes out and he's looking at you like, Hiranyakashipu actually thought, whoa, He actually thought that. Thought, well, this is serious. Right? And he got his sword, got his shield, and said, come, come. Like that. And his ring papers ripped him. He played with him. The fight went on for hours, actually. He played with him. Then in the end, he just said, okay, enough's enough. Finish this guy. This is our Lord. So this is how you get the taste. Every day is Nisringa Chaturdasi. You go out on Harinam and Nisringa Chaturdasi on the street. Right? All the devotees before Harinam starts up there. You get into the bar. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhagavan. Any questions or comments? Yes.
I have a question.
First, Mataji first.
Sorry.
Yes, okay. Russell.
Thank you for such an exciting class. In the old days, we would have given some emphasis to preaching. How can we explain a verse like this to people we meet?
This verse?
Yes.
This is an easy verse for people to understand because pretty much everyone in the material world is suffering from the mind. So for most people, when you speak about, when you preach on the platform of the mind, it's easy for them to understand. Like when I run my meditation classes in Torquay, a lot of it's about the mind, because meditation is about the mind, focusing the mind. So then we say, you know, hands up if your mind sometimes gives you trouble, everyone puts their hands up. Everyone can relate to that. So in the modern day, it's very easy to preach on this platform. So these kind of verses are perfect for our preaching. I'll take the blue first.
Well, no, it was only says, always remember Krishna, never forget him. No.
Please. Please, always remember him. Please. What is the question?
Yeah, so we go for different... everyone's working in different jobs. So it's difficult to remember all this.
Yeah, difficult. Difficult, but it requires practice, actually. It's difficult. It takes time. Because what you do in your job has nothing to do with Krishna. Really. I mean, you know. So you have to learn to see somehow. How can I connect it to Krishna? When you become advanced, Krishna is just there in the mind. Rupa Goswami says, like the young boy thinks of the young girl. Right? It's just there. Yeah, you don't have to think, you know, oh, you know, it's just Krishna is there. So do anything, Krishna is there. But when we're leading up to that, then you have to, as much as you can, then try to bring Krishna into your consciousness. Because the job itself is not so much leading to Krishna. But then, like one... person that we're preaching to at the moment, making, helping them become devotee. So she's finishing one course. So she said she's in the classroom, there's 30 students, the teacher's at the back, they're looking at the thing, and you know, they're working on computers, and it takes, you know, half an hour to complete each step, but she did in 5 minutes. So she just had nectar of instruction there on the thing. So while everyone else is still finishing, just read the nectar of instruction. You know, the teacher walks past, she just puts it under the table and then brings it back in. So different ways you can do it. Yeah, you're doing your job, you can have shlokas, or can I have a shloka? Then, you know, put it back in. Okay. Different, different. In the mind, you can always be chanting. There's different ways we can do it. You have to think of ways. And also make your work preaching. That's very important, make your work preaching. You know, bring prasada to the people. Just like Dharma Chai Prabhu, who, you know, stays at the front. So at the moment he's doing a massage course. So he always takes prasadam from the other students. And then on our Sunday feast a couple of days ago, one of the students came for the Sunday feast. I said, oh, how did you come? He said, oh, the Dial always brings his prasadam. Didn't say prasadam, but, you know, always brings his food. So nice, this food. And he said, oh, you can come to our farm. So they came, because they went to see, oh, you know, where does this food come from? So try to preach always, try to do something.
Thank you for money. Your heart is always in
yeah.
Give money to Krishna.
Yeah, give your money to Krishna. you attached Grihastha. Give your money to Krishna. Purify your consciousness. You're attached to birth. Give it to Krishna.
You were saying that we've been here for so long and the body's changed, but you said that the mind is the same that we came with.
Yeah.
Isn't it that the mind also kind of changed and then manifests material body?
Yeah. Yeah, so the mind is like like the crystals up there. So the crystals are up here. So I'm here, you're there, right? So you look at that. So from my side, the crystal looks bluish because of where the light is going. And then from your side, it looks reddish from where the light is going, right? So the mind is like that same mind, but the mind is associated with the three modes of material nature. So as you go through different lifetimes, according to the association you get, then the mind changes its desires and attachments. So you'll see that, you know, all of us had a pig body in the past. We were all pigs in the past. So when we had a pig body, we used to enjoy eating stool. Right? You'll enjoy it. You know, you eat the stool like one. And then you see like one animal pass stool. You think, oh. You run over and you eat the animal stool. Then you turn around and then a human is passing stool. Run over and so no one in this room would ever do that, ever. And none of us would eat stool ever. Like, I would never eat stool. I was dying. I wouldn't eat stool. It's, like, it's the worst thing. Right. So that's because of the modes of material nature. As we travel through, then the modes change, and then the same mind becomes coloured by the modes which are there.
It's really interesting topic. So yesterday, someone showed me a sports shoot, and he said, depending on the dominance of your brain, which is dominant hemisphere, you will see different colour. And I saw completely different color than my mom or someone else, and I couldn't believe it. I can't believe that they see me pink and I see me green. Even does the same thing, same object, but whether your brain is left dominant or right dominant, you will see the different color. It's unbelievable.
So it's all all the modes of material nature, right? Just according to our association with the modes. Then everything becomes transformed in the mind. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna favors the mode of goodness. Right? If you look at the last six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the main topic is the three modes of material nature. Right? The last six chapters is called Jnana Yoga. And the main topic is the three modes. And if you study them, I studied it very deeply a number of years ago. If you study it, Krishna favors the mode of goodness. And one of the acharyas, one of the commentators in the Bhagavatam says, when you look at Mishra Sattva, or mode of goodness, and Shuddha Sattva, which is pure goodness, elevated goodness, he said the two are very similar. And Prabhupada says the mode of goodness is a springboard into pure goodness. So we have to, with our mind, you have to make your mind associated with the mode of goodness. Because that will assist you in developing Krishna consciousness. So same mind, but according to what we associate with, then the mind becomes a particular way. Any other
questions? I haven't read Bhagavad Gita, but I've heard, like while listening to Spotify, that while describing mode of goodness, it is said that the statement is you shouldn't be too attached to the auspicious and not to hate the inauspicious. Then. I sometimes don't understand how do we then just intensify and attach to anything spiritual, then that is also auspicious. Then is that the mode of goodness? Or?
No, it's talking about different things. It's talking about when Krishna speaks of mode of goodness in Bhagavad Gita, in this world, Krishna says that the mode of goodness has two qualities. It gives happiness and knowledge. Right? But they can also become bondage for the conditioned soul. So when it says, and that means auspicious, right? Something auspicious in this world. Right? So don't become attached to the auspicious things in this world, because this world will never be perfect. But become to the auspiciousness in the spiritual world. Just like last night in our class, we were discussing the pastime of Sudama Vipra. So he went to Dwarka and he met Krishna. And while he was in Dwarka, everything was Vaikuntha, because it is Vaikuntha. And he had satisfaction which was beyond even what anyone could desire. And then when he went back to his own home, Krishna had done the same thing there. Everything became. But that is spiritual auspiciousness. Right? And the price to pay, and this is the pastime of Siddhartha Vipra, one of the lessons, the price to pay is you have to become unalloyed in your devotion to Krishna. In other words, you don't desire that. I don't need or want an auspicious situation. And when you don't need or want it, you're only wanting to serve Krishna, then Krishna will give that to you. But if you want it, then Krishna, he'll treat you differently. Any other question? Yes, sir.
Really, how can I, in my current situation, how can I do deity worship?
How can you do deity worship?
What's the question?
In his current situation, how can he do deity worship? So you're not a second initiated devotee? That's what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, so you don't have Brahman initiation?
Yes, yeah.
So how do you do deity worship if you're not Brahman? Srila Prabhupada says, if you just dance and chant in front of Gaur Nithai in ecstasy, you can go back to Godhead. It's deity worship. Okay, who you're dancing and chanting for. And it's important, actually. When we do kirtans, you know, sometimes lately, not lately, but since this kong was invented, you know, some of the kirtans are just testosterone-driven. Right. It's just a bunch of boys. The girls are actually quite not, the way they dance is nice. It's kind of structured, orderly.
Not this morning. But it wasn't testosterone, it was just childish.
Yes, it sometimes it's like that. The ladies do like that. But it should be very the word should be like graceful. For the pleasure of the deity. You know, we can have ecstatic, you know, we can dance and chant and be ecstatic. But it should always be for the pleasure of the deity. You see, sometimes it's not for the pleasure of the deity.
Yeah.
Right? The devotees are focused on, it's basically, it's just testosterone. Right? It's the mode of passion. And it's coming from the liver, it's bile. Right? Too much heat in the body. Right? Everyone just becomes, that. And it's not even the mantra. It even, they had the Kirtan Mela recently up at New Govardhan and Mwamba. And there was one, I wasn't there, but I was watching one video. And then they're throwing everyone up in the air. And one of the boys got up so high, he got onto the rafter. So then he's holding on up there. And then everyone's kind of, you know, getting into that. And then Bibi Govindamara says on the microphone, he says, keep chanting. Keep chanting. That's the point. We're there to chant the holy name. We're there to meditate on Krishna. Not to meditate on, you know, someone's on the rafter at this point in time. Yeah, okay, that's nice. If that can embellish the chanting, that can add to the chanting, that can increase the ecstasy. But that's not the, and you know, we have to train ourselves to be like that. In kirtan, you have to stay focused. So also, you see, the manajis, some of the manajis, they're not Brahman initiates, but they make garlands from deities. Right? And you can clean the temple. Right? The deity room is there to the mandap, or the temple room is here. So any of us can clean in here also and do service. So there's so many things we can do too. Just chanting in front of the deities when you chant your japa. Right? You're chanting your japa. Sometimes I like to come in here and just me and Radha Bhadama, but there's not many devotees around, and I just chant. Right? Meditate on them. That's deity worship. So anything you do is deity worship. Even when you attend Mangalati, right? The pujari is doing the aarti. But everyone in the room, they're meditating on what the pujari is offering at that point in time and how that is serving Krishna. They get the same benefit as the pujari, so that is also deity worship. Right? And then if you go into the nectar of devotion, there are 64 items of bhakti. And one of the items is manasa seva, or manasa puja. Right? The famous example is the brahmana, who touched the sweet ones, right, on the side. So then that's another way you can do deity worship.
Does he do service in the kitchen? Ask him what service he does.
What service do you do?
I clean the temple room.
You clean the temple
room? Yeah, there you go. There you're doing it.
That is deity worship.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, familiarity can breed contempt. You know, when you become familiar, you can lose your... So sometimes, you know, for years, you wait to become a brahmana, and you wait to get onto the altar. But then when you get on the altar after some time, you become like, oh, okay, I've done this so many times now, and you lose your attachment to the deity. That can happen. Right? So there's no particular advantage from being inside the altar room. You know, you can do it with as much devotion out here as you can in there, right? And get the same reciprocation from Krishna. That being said, there is something irreplaceable from being in there. When the doors are closed and you're in there in the intimate sanctum of the deities, that cannot be replaced. Because that's like being in the intimate association. You know, years ago when I lived close to the temple, once or twice a week I used to bathe the big deities of Gaurantai. After we close the doors after Mangalani, then we bathe them and we clean them. And before I would begin, I would put my head on the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and then Lord Chaitanya. Right? You cannot replace that. So that should give you impetus to become second initiated. And then one day you can go in there and you can put your head on the feet of the deities. Okay. Any other questions?
Comment before you stop seeing everyone else. So you have to comment.
Please.
In India, the temples are arranged according to Vastu. So the whole temple complex is Krishna's body. So, in a sense, wherever you are in the temple, you're doing deity worship.
Yeah. And then, if you want to extend it more broadly, Prabhupada said, "ISKCON is his body." So then if you do any service to ISKCON, you're doing direct service to Srila Prabhupada. Direct. So it's just a matter of how we meditate, that's all. Someone else out there?
Prabhu, you mentioned that we are attached to the material thing and we need to replace that thing to the spiritual. So I heard a lecture that someone asked a question, can we be attached to a service in the temple? And then the answer was, you should not be attached to any particular service. So even if it's spiritual, so how is it wrong to get attached to it?
For a second.
I don't remember. It was the national lecture.
Yeah, that's not correct. That's not correct. To say not to be attached to a particular service, that's not correct. That's not... To be attached to a particular service is not unspiritual. It's actually the opposite. It's completely spiritual.
The point was made that if for the requirement, if your service to be replaced, if you're too attached to this service, then you might not have a good consciousness to continue with this service. So,
yeah, so what it means is that if you're attached to a particular service, but then you're asked to do another service because there's an emergency or there's a situation where there's no one else to do that service or like that, then... you must do that service. If you don't do the service, you say, well, you know, I don't do that particular service because it's below me, then that's material consciousness. That's not spiritual consciousness. A devotee is happy to do any service for Krishna. Right? Just like years ago in Mayapur, there was rice being grown near the temple. Back in the beginning days, so there was only the lotus building. Right? And then around the temple, we had rice fields. And then Prabhupada looked out, Prabhupada arrived, he'd been away for a few months, and he came back to Mayapur, and then he saw the rice was there, and it was time to harvest the rice. And then Prabhupada said, why is the rice not being harvested? And then one of the devotees said, well, the devotees do not want to do it. And Prabhupada said, they do not want to do it. Then that is their service. If the rice, it may not be, they think, oh, I'm a brahmana, you know, I'm meant to read and study and preach, but if there's something necessary that needs to be done, you have to go and do it. So that's the two different things. We're all attached to particular services. Like I'm attached to particular services, which are my nature and I like to do. So there's nothing wrong with being like that. But if sometimes there's another service which needs to be done and it's presented, you have to do the service. Any other point? Yes, sir.
These are normal. These kind of levels of normal Eastern management. So it sounds like everything's okay.
Yeah, we all have that. Even last week or the week before, I was in the car park. You know, back in my car, and I had to get Bulga from the kitchen to take to the farm for one of my programs. And then a devotee was putting the rubbish into the skip, the bin. And he said to me, he said, "Prabhu, can you help?" Because it was like a big bag of rubbish, and he couldn't kind of manage it by himself. And my first thought was like, "Oh, I don't want to get dirty, you know, like, you know, because I'm in the middle of doing things, I don't want to get dirty." That was my first thought. And then, you know, a second later, I thought to myself, "Wait a minute, this devotee needs help, right? It's Krishna's service." So then I went and helped him, and we put him in the bin, right? But because in the beginning, I was in materialistic consciousness, I was thinking, "Oh, I don't want to touch, you know, something unclean and everything. That's someone else's services then." But that should not be our mentality. Tomorrow, Krishna once said that most, in the early days of ISKCON, the most advanced devotee in ISKCON was Jayananda Prabhu. Right? Whose disappearance day is the day after Nisringa Devi's disappearance day.
Before.
Sorry, the day before. The day before. So, Jayananda Prabhu would do any service. Any service like that. He was the most advanced out of all of us. And his samadhi is there in Mayapur at the Jagannath Mandir in the compound. And when you go there, it's incredibly powerful. You can feel his presence, and you know. And his service attitude was the most perfect out of all of us. So we should become like that. So, okay, one more question. Yeah.
So that was me. You have to help me.
Oh, that was something yours.
Because I was thinking about that, asking God, you know, I should apologize for them, but see how Lord has.
Yeah, no,
you
were doing the right thing. You were putting the rubbish in the bin, right?
It was sitting there for a few days.
Yeah.
And then I was coming and seeing it, but it wasn't put in the bin.
Yeah.
So that's why I purposely asked you, because I couldn't do it on myself. So I wanted to see whether he's a true devotee or.
It was a test. Thank you for testing me. I failed the test initially because, you know, my first reaction was, "Oh, I don't want to touch it, it's dirty." It's like, that was my first reaction. But then I corrected myself. I thought, you know, what sort of devotee am I? This is Krishna's temple, and I'm not willing to do a service which is being out. And then, you know, you're a junior devotee to me. And you said to me, "Oh, can you help me do this?" And my first reaction was, you know, who's this guy? He's asking me to do a service. He's just some junior guy. But then I corrected my mind and I thought, wait a minute, this is Krishna's temple. I came here, I chant Hare Krishna to ask for service, and now I'm given service. I was like, "Oh, I don't want to do the service." And what is that mentality? So yeah, you taught me something that was good. So thank you for being my guru. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.